This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Cam and Ayman. So we have been covering a lot about tourism and we will get to some of those last messages before the hour ends. But in the meantime, we do have some great news that's come through from Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, which is that we could possibly see the Official Secrets Act officially gone. In a surprising announcement today, Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad said a Freedom of Information Act will be drafted to replace it. So we can expect something presented in Parliament mid next year. Tun said that they need time to do sufficient engagement and outreach sessions with the public. So I'm holding my breath a bit because it's only until next year before we can expect anything, and we don't know what it's like. It's been a bit of a turn and twist for certain policies, but generally optimistic about this.
Very, very positive development. A surprising one. We may discover after this outreach that Malaysia's just not ready yet.
So it is a good announcement simply because one of the things I'm actually looking forward to is the, what does it mean for some of the reports that have been made public? And most recently, it has been the CEP report that was put under the USA because of sensitivity and all sorts of other matters, right? And I don't know what it would necessarily translate to for the person on the ground, but I'm hoping that, you know, for all the development projects, say, in the future that we might see happening in our neighborhoods, we might be able to access certain files or certain documents that may suggest, for example, like the EIA, for example, that might help us keep these development projects in check for a bit.
Yeah, it's fundamentally earth-shaking, really. It's a very surprising statement. I'm wondering why now, but yeah, it could really change things.
So let's head over to our phone lines where we have human rights lawyer Andrew Koo with us. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, and thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you. And could you walk us through the change in direction we're hoping to see by replacing the USA with the Freedom of Information Act?
Well, I'm not sure whether it will necessarily replace the Official Secrets Act. It's not actually too great a surprise because it was actually promised, this Freedom of Information Act was actually promised in the Pakatan Harapan Manifesto under Promise 14. Maybe the surprise is they're actually following the manifesto and actually perhaps, you know, living up to the promises that they have made, which of course is a good thing. But to answer your question, I think what we need is a total mind change from living under an official secrets environment to a freedom of information environment. So under an official secrets environment, it's basically, I'm overgeneralizing, but everything's a secret unless. So, you know, unless it's officially released, everything else is a secret. Under a freedom of information environment, everything is accessible unless withheld. And then you have to have very strict guidelines and principles about what can be withheld, either blanketly or under specific circumstances. So it will be a total change of mindset. And I think that's something that we as a nation will need some time to wrap our minds around.
And what do you hope to see being included in the new act?
Well, an affirmation of the right to access to information. I think that is the key principle that must underlie freedom of information, the acceptance that the people have a right to access information, and then to look at what are the possible exemptions or exceptions to that. But basically then a regime of how people can access that information and, you know, what are the procedures and what they can do if they are denied access to that information. So there'll be a whole regime of, compliance and then evaluation of the application. And then if there is a rejection of the application, then the whole process of explaining why and appeals and things like that. So a very broad range of, you know, from beginning to end of the application, to access information all the way to appealing against any possible rejections of that right or denial of that right.
I'm wondering about some of the models that can be followed. The United States has a Freedom of Information Act, but also Selangor and Penang as well. And I'm wondering which one should we follow?
Well, I mean, certainly, I don't think you'd want to follow the Selangor and Penang example, not because they're wrong necessarily, but because Selangor and Penang had to create a freedom of information environment in their states, while at a national level, they were restricted by an Official Secrets Act. So, you know, we're going to be different. This is going to be a national scheme, you know, formulated by the national government. So it's going to be something that will trickle down from top. So the top has to say, we are now moving into this environment of freedom of information. But, you know, every major democracy in the world has some form of freedom of information. And we can certainly look at different models. The US is one, UK is another, Scandinavian countries are quite good at this, and also Australia and New Zealand. So there are models both near and slightly further afield that we can look at in terms of how to set it up and what are the mechanisms and what are the procedures.
Now, what implications will we see with the Good Freedom of Information Act? For example, I'm thinking of what it would likely mean for the work of agencies like the MECC, for example.
Well, I mean, if you look at the report, the announcement came after the Prime Minister chaired a meeting of the Cabinet Subcommittee on Corruption. So, and even in Promise 14, the context of a Freedom of Information Act is very much in line with more transparency and more accountability as a means of combating corruption. So I think this will be one of the key features of the FOI. So in other words, you are basically telling all government departments, ministries, agencies, local authorities that they can no longer hide behind the shroud of secrecy to prevent the public from understanding and getting to know how decisions were made, what decisions were made, who made those decisions, why were those decisions made. So, you know, it's basically tearing away the curtains and allowing sunshine to light up all these dark areas which were previously you know, kept away from the Malaysian public. So I think it will aid greatly in combating corruption and making government much, much more transparent.
So what does it mean for regular folks, like the public? So I'm guessing it can help us keep the government better in check.
Yes. So if there is a decision that affects you, for example, then you can, you know, ask for information relating to, as I said, how that decision was made, who made that information, what maybe the underlying documents or reports that led to that decision being made, so that you can, you know, challenge that decision possibly, or to try and argue that it was based on erroneous information. So it will help the average citizen to be able to hold government at various levels to account.
But we've been talking about, obviously, freedom of information, letting the information flow. But what about actual official secrets? What about the secrets that a government should keep? Is that still a possibility for security purposes?
The short answer is yes. I mean, as I said, there will always be exceptions, and some of them will be blanket exceptions, like, for example, you will not get information about particular defense policies in terms of what do we do if we are attacked by a certain enemy. But you will be able to get information about this defense spending, defense procurement. So you can see that it will be there will be a line somewhere as to what kind of information can and ought to be shared, and what information for operational and security reasons will not be available under freedom of information regime.
Is there an expectation of a ripple effect from this, possibly, and it might include changes to other legislations like the Sedition Act?
Well, I don't think the Sedition Act per se will be the beneficiary of a ripple effect, because it covers something totally different, which is basically criticism of the government, criticism of rulers, that sort of thing. So it's slightly removed from this. But there will certainly be a ripple effect in terms of other kinds of legislation where we would hope that there will be provisions, or at least it will be overridden by the FOI provisions to make sure that government agencies are made accountable and have to share information if asked for under the FOI mechanisms.
Andrew, it was such a pleasure speaking with you.
Well, it's been my pleasure being on the show.
That was human rights lawyer Andrew Koo giving us a rundown of what a good Freedom of Information Act would look like. And we have been receiving some messages about this. Toby says, I mentioned about the OSA needing to be replaced with the Freedom of Information Act. Glad it's happening by next year. Better late than never. And he sent that message through back in March. So a bit of a crystal ball moment for us. And we also have a message here from MI saying that Freedom of Information Act, isn't that just the same as an OSA, but by a different name? And I guess that was answered by Andrew Koo earlier, who said that, yeah, there will still be some amounts of information that the government should be able to keep under wraps because of security and safety reasons, but it is giving the public a chance to be able to, say, the less secretive stuff, to be able to access that information.
Yes. Yeah. It also might end up being like, you know, when you get these sort of free access to the New York Times and you get like 6 articles and then that's your limit.
Yeah, that's a bare minimum that we expect.
Yeah.
Cam, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.